This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
This episode of Congratulations is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron's great. You understand me? I'm Chris D'Elia, and I'm telling you this. For less than $10 a person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You don't even have to think about it. It just shows up at your door, and then you make this food. And you got to choose from a variety of new recipes each week, and they set it up for you. Let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you even. You could do that. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/congrats. You understand me? Welcome to Congratulations. This is the podcast. This is how we're doing it, okay? This is like the 16th episode, I think. I have no idea. I literally have no idea until I'm done with it. My producer's not here. It's just me. We're seeing if I could roll dolo, dude. I'm on my dolo. What the fuck? I'm on my dolo. I don't even know if that means by myself, but I know Ice Cube says it. So I'm on my dolo. So I'm by myself. You know what that means? I'm in my podcast room and I'm completely naked and I don't give a shit. I wanted to always feel what it's like to do my art and speak my mind to a bunch of people, thousands of people, letting my balls just air out. And that's how it's going to be. It's actually a little more, echoey because of my producer's not here, and he always brings a bunch of fat cats with him and he lies them around. So it eats up the sound. He brings about 15 to 16 fat cats, and sets them all up, but I'm naked. I'm completely naked. And that's what's up, dude. This is the Naked Podcast. Congratulations. The Naked Podcast. I am in Los Angeles and I've been in Los Angeles for a week. And you know, I've been doing this movie. I shot the movie for about 3 weeks and then I was back in LA, and I'm wrapping up my time in LA now because I'm going back to Toronto to do the movie, to finish up the movie. And I have enjoyed being in Los Angeles. I caught up with some people. I got to see my mom for Mother's Day, or as she calls it, Mulla's Day. I don't know why she does that. She does that because she likes to just be silly and weird. But I did that, and now I'm going back to Toronto. Here's the deal. I went up last night. I did some stand up at the Comedy Store in the Laugh Factory and it felt good, man. It felt really good to be back home and doing stand up and doing jokes. And a lot of the stuff was newer stuff and it was very cool because some of the people there hadn't seen me in about 3 or 4 weeks. And some of the door guys were like, "Hey, you know, like the new stuff kept me charged, man. It made me realize I'm a comedian, you know?" Even though I've been doing this drama in Toronto, it made me realize that at my heart, I'm a comedian. So thanks for letting me do that, world. Now I'm chilling. They asked me when I wanted to go back to Toronto. They gave me an early flight or a late flight option, asked for the late flight, and they said, never mind, they're going to give me the early flight. So I said, okay, you know, because I'm not going to argue with production. Went to this nice place for Mother's Day, or for Mulla's Day, as my mom would call it, for fun. And it was a fish place, and they had the jackasses. If you're a grown man and you're eating crab, you don't fucking put a bib on. Do you understand me? That's for a six-year-old. You grown man? I saw this grown man that was just eating crab and had the bib on like he was a fucking eight-year-old. But he was 40-something. And you could tell by the look on his face that he just wanted to order the crab so he could be cute and put the bib on. Makes it doubly bad. If you really want crab and you're like, I want crab, and then you're like, you know what, I really don't actually want to mess up my suit, then fine. That's bad enough. Just be good. Get the shit on your suit or fucking be careful. You're an adult. But that's it, man. If you're like, maybe I'll get the crab, maybe I'll get the fucking, you know, salmon, but you're like, oh, but I'll wear the bib. It'll be fun. I'll be the funny guy at the table with the bib on, and I'll do bib jokes. Yee, cuda. And you know it, dude, because you've seen something and you need distraction. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's my PSA for now. The first, you got to start off hot. That's my hot shit right there. It's the new hotness. When I saw Men in Black, the trailer, and when Will Smith said old and crusty, or he said old and busted, new hotness. And he pointed to his car and said new hotness. I was like, I love Will Smith from now on. I mean, I already loved him, but that shit fucking new hotness? You're 40 and you say new hotness? Actually, he's probably younger than that. Dude, how about I'm 37 now. And I watched back these movies that I loved, and I was like, oh man, let's watch a movie. Will Smith. What's an old Will Smith movie? And you watch an old Will Smith movie, and he was fucking, and you expect him to be like 45 because you were younger and he was a grown man. But really, Will Smith is like fucking 7 years older than me. He's not 50, right? Dude, that's insane to me to look at Men in Black and be like, oh, he was 19. Oh, he was 14 in that. Oh, Will Smith did Men in Black when he was 11. Drinking. LaCroix, if you're a cocksucker. Or you can say LaCroix. I want every... by the way, I don't like that. Like any kind of like croissant. Like it's croissant. If you're in America, it's croissant. It's not croissant. Because everything in every language should have its other language version, right? Like burrito in, you know, Spanish is now burrito. If you're fucking order and you say burrito as an American, you're a fucking asshole. Get the bib. Eat that burrito, you know? But there should be something like that. My dad said something to me like, yeah, you're a real... I can't remember the word, but it was a word that was in Italian. Every now and then, my dad is S Italian. It's like all of a sudden he's like, "Don ciao buongiorno, I better wear me the volettini," and you're like, But he used the Italian word, and I said, "What the hell does that mean?" He's like, "There's not a word for it in English. It means one who simply doesn't give a fuck." I'm like, "Well, just then, don't use that word." I wish I remember what it was, but I don't remember. So he did that, and then I invited him to get a burrito and drink some la croix. So yeah, don't have the bib, and also, you know, but I don't know. Everyone always thinks they're fucking extra and cool and fun. And I like to think about, you know, what's funny to me is like when people like the bib guy, if you take a guy who's like the bib guy, I don't know why it took me 40 tries to say that, but the bib guy at the restaurant, the look at me guy, or the guy who walks in. I saw a guy walk into the coffee shop yesterday, or one of these days recently. I don't know why I need to tell you guys the truth about that, but it was one of these days, not yesterday, I don't think. And he walked in, and you can tell he was filling himself. Like he was murdering just walking in, right? Like he felt like, Maybe I'm on the Truman Show. Just in case I'm on the Truman Show and everybody in the world's watching, I'm going to blast through this door like I'm John goddamn Wayne. And so he walked through the door, and you could tell he was feeling himself because his eyes were a little bit squintier. Lintle bit squintier? Or little bit squintier? I think I meant little bit squintier, because a lintle bit squintier are not words. So he walked in, and he was killing it a little bit. And immediately when I see somebody who does that thinks they're all that or killing it or fucking, you know, if they got a cool... Oh, by the way, you know who I also saw recently? There was a few episodes ago, maybe actually it was like the third or fourth episode, I saw a guy. I was making fun of the guy who was wearing the cool dope shit, and his name was still Brad at the coffee shop. Like, you can't wear the dopest shit and then he still has to say his name is Brad or whatever the name was. So I always like to imagine those guys, as dope as they are, as cool as they can possibly be, I like to imagine them dead asleep. Because to me, that's hilarious. No matter how dope you are, no matter how fucking ill your collar is, or how fucking shiny those boots are, or roughed up those jeans are in the most perfect way, or how cool you think you are and charismatic you think you are when you're talking to a lady, you still fucking sometimes sleep like a baby. And that's so funny to me. To be like, yeah, I'm the shit. But then imagining that guy all curled up like a cute motherfucker, just like, and then waking up just like, you little bitch. You little fucking bitch. You still have to sleep a lot. That's so funny to me. I could imagine myself one day in my old age getting mad like at somebody that thinks he's cool, like super dope, and just being like, fuck you, you sleep. You still fucking sleep sometimes like a baby, and have him having no idea what the fuck I mean. But I know what I mean. That's nirvana, I think. I legitimately think that's nirvana. Is when you're saying shit like that, whatever the Italian fucking word is. The fuck is that Italian word? I'm going to text my dad right now. He won't get back to me till tomorrow because he's fucking 70. Hey, Dad. What was that word? Italian. Watch, I'm going to say, hey, Dad, what was that Italian word? And he's going to be like, what Italian word? You got to be real specific with people as they get older. You can't be like if you could say, hey, hand me that thing to a 25-year-old and they know exactly what you're talking about. You say, hand me that thing to a fucking 75-year-old, they'll look at you like, it's the last question on fucking Jeopardy. Like, I didn't study. Like, that's how they'll look at you. You'd be like, the fucking thing we were talking about for the past 20 minutes. Give me the scissors. Be like, well, you should have said fucking scissors. Yeah. Whatever it was, though. How cool. Oh, it's really cool, too, that I have two fucking networks in my house. For some reason. So... it never works when I fucking doesn't the one I like to use Siri voice text, the one that doesn't give a fuck. That's so not good English, but he's not gonna know what I mean. But anyway, I don't remember what I was talking. I'm completely off base here. Worst host ever. Worst fucking host ever. You know what? Honestly, sleeping like a baby. Like sleeping like a fucking baby, dude. It's funny to me. I used to think about like how no matter how fucking dope someone was, like they trip. But like tripping isn't as good as sleeping. Like we have to sleep. Like that's like we, no matter how cool we are, no matter how dope we are, we still fucking are number one. Something we need to do is sleep. Nobody's better than that. That's the best to me. We're all bitches because of sleep. All bitches because of sleep. Speaking of bad hosts, and this is actually not fair because I don't think he's a bad host. I think he's a great host. But did you hear, but speaking of hosts, period, let's say sleep, speaking of hosts, did anybody see, I kind of missed this. I got late in the game here. I didn't know about it the day it happened when it was blowing up. But this email that Steve Harvey sent out to his, staff about how the new rules for season 5 on his show. And the internet is like lighting them up for it. And everyone's like, this guy should be fired. This guy should be replaced. And they have like, they're trying to get like 50,000 signatures. And they already got like 25,000 signatures to fucking cancel his show. And did his show get... Yeah, it did can't. They did cancel it. It says right here. This is from Robert Fetter. Chicago media served fresh daily since 1980. Thursday marks the final day of production for the Steve Harvey Show after 5 years in Chicago. After that, it's packing up and moving to Los Angeles. Oh, okay, no, it didn't get canceled. It's just moving to Los Angeles. That's the thing. And everyone wants him to get fired online because this is the best. I fucking love Steve Harvey, by the way. After this, I'm a huge Steve Harvey fan. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Politically, I don't care who you're for. I think he's for Trump. I don't give a fuck. You do you, Steve Harvey. We need people in America that fucking do them. You understand? I just, you know, maybe everybody should vote. That's what I think if we're talking politics. But we're not. We're talking about personal shit. And we're not talking about personal shit. We're talking about you in the workplace. You got to do you, bro. Sociopaths and psychopaths fucking succeed because they're hyper-focused. And I think Steve Harvey may be a fucking psychopath or sociopath. So here are the rules that he put out for season five of his I have a lot of thoughts about this. Okay, on this website it says, okay, these are the things he said. Good morning, and the email. Good morning, everyone. This is an email he sent to everybody. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. So starting really nice. I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season five of my talk show. Now, he came out with a fucking bang, right? Like, he was nice for two short sentences, and then he was like, now here's how it's going to go, motherfuckers. That means that he shouldn't even have been nice in the first two sentences. I don't like that. I got to say, he should have either been nicer for longer or just started off, what's up, motherfuckers? And then, I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season five to my talk show. Now, I think this is how it should have been. What's up, motherfuckers? This is how it's going to be from now on. And I think instead of all that shit I just read, this is the words how it's going to be from now on should all be one word. That would be, this is the only way that I would be a bigger fan of Steve Harvey after this email, is if he did it like this. What's up, motherfuckers? This is how it's going to be from now on. One word, okay? And then this is back to what he actually said. There will be no meetings in my dressing room. No stopping by or popping in. No one. Love that he said stopping by or popping in because he meant it. He said the same thing twice with different words. And then he said in caps, no one. So that means even the people that thought that they were closer than him, than the other people that were reading the email, just read that part and got extra like, oh, he means me. It's like... I love the fact that Steve Harvey probably has a best friend on the show and he still sent the email to everybody and included the best friend. And that no one was particularly for that best friend, okay? Then he writes, do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Now that's the same goddamn thing he just said, which is amazing. Okay, so far it's like somebody every episode comes into... So far, this email is literally written... Like somebody comes into his dressing room every shoot day and fucks him up the ass. And he does not want it to happen. And he cannot stop it. And no matter what, and as he gets fucked in the ass, he's like the guy's saying this shit in like French or whatever fucking word, whatever language. He's just like, blah, 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 blah. And Steve Harvey's like, who the fuck is this French guy saying? And what's he saying? And he never knew what he was saying. He didn't know who he was because he's hooded. And then after season four, right before season five, he realized that in French, the guy was saying, if you want this to stop, all you have to do is email everybody in your staff about, and I won't pop by. The only way you can make me not stop pop by is if you email me. By the way, I'm in your staff. You don't know who I am. And he realized who he was. So then this is what he says. Do not open my dressing room door, which is the same goddamn thing. This motherfucker had a traumatic instance happen a lot in his dressing room. And then in caps, if you open my door, expect to be removed. Removed like you're a molar, not like you're a person. Couldn't love Steve Harvey more right now. Okay? Then... My security team will stop everyone from standing at my door who have the intent to see or speak to me or fuck me up the ass, in parentheses, French guy, that's for you. Just kidding. It ended with speak to me, obviously. But that's how it, because we know something was going on. Then it says, I want all the ambushing to stop now. Now you know he's been fucked in the ass repeatedly in his dressing room. You know for sure that he's been fucked in the ass. Because he used the word ambush. Like he kind of like showed his hand right there. And he writes, that includes TV staff. Now right there, he thinks that the French guy is a TV. Like there's some French people in his TV staff. And he thinks that maybe some of those guys are the guys that fuck him up the ass. Then he writes, you must schedule an appointment. Now that means maybe he would like to get fucked in the ass, but he doesn't want to be taken by surprise while he's getting fucked in the ass, right? He wants to at least know it's coming so he can do some calisthenics first, okay? Then here we go. Here we go. This is the part, the thing that really fucking takes it to the next level and to where we know that something went down. I have been taken advantage of by my lenient policy in the past. This ends now. No more in caps. Nobody says no more in caps unless you've sincerely been, and I mean this, taken advantage of sexually. Nobody says no more in caps like that. Nobody types that unless somebody's been taken sexually advantage of. Here's another, he keeps going. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Either knock or use the doorbell. My favorite thing about that is, why is there a goddamn doorbell in the makeup trailer? It's a makeup trailer where you only get makeup done, by the way. I don't know. A lot of people probably don't know how it works. A makeup trailer is legitimately just used for getting your makeup done. There is no reason there should be a doorbell on it. And that's why Steve Harvey is my number one favorite person at this point in this email. Okay? This is the best part right here. I'm not the best part. I'm sorry. It just keeps getting better is what I mean. Next, he says, I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway. That's funny to think like I'm an entertainer and I'll fucking entertain people on the show. But don't you fucking think I'm going to be tap dancing motherfuckers in no hallway. And this is the best. Oh, man, this is so specific. I love it. I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway. And do not attempt to walk with me. This dude wants to fucking roll on his dolo, dude. This is another part that fucking hits his friends. If you're reading this, yes, I mean you. So what? Guess what that means? That means me too. Me, Chris, Dalia, me. I'm not on this show, but I read it. So he means me. I like that the email is personal to me. Now, and then he writes, a little bit trust to realize maybe he got a little hot. So he writes, everyone do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life. And now that's fine. But then this part is the really motherfucker. He writes, and enjoyment. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. Mean, take the personal life out of it. It is for my enjoyment. Oh, hey, don't walk with me, don't pop in my room, ring the doorbell on my makeup trailer, do not fucking come up to me in the hallway, because I want you to know that you can't do this because it's for my enjoyment. That's amazing. That's an evil villain. That's the king that went bad and decided to ruin the nation or whatever the fuck. You rule over. It's awesome, dude. That's amazing. Now talk about not giving a fuck. One who doesn't give a fuck. My dad texted me back. Manifragista. Manifragista. One who does not give a fuck. Steve Harvey. And people are like, he should be fired. He should be fired. Fuck that. Fuck that. He's the boss. He's the boss. It's his show. You can't do the show without him. They're going to throw the fucking show off the air. Fuck that. Don't work for him. I understand everybody like relies on, oh, that's my job. Now I got to work. Fuck that. You know what, dude? If somebody said that to me, if somebody had those rules to me, I couldn't help myself. I'd have to fucking pop. Hey, what's up, Steve? In the hallway. What's going on, man? He'd be like, did you read my fucking email? Or he wouldn't even entertain me. Fuck that. He's my hero. In business, we need more motherfuckers like that. That's awesome. It's my favorite, literally. That's my favorite email I've ever read. No doubt. No doubt. I just like thinking about how some French guy definitely fucked him in the ass, and that's why he wrote that email. I mean, that's just... But the amount of flack he got on the internet for that is just so stupid. It's so stupid to go after somebody like that. It's fine to make a joke. Like, you know, if comedians are like, whoa, Steve Harvey is a fucking diva and fucking making jokes about it, you know? But come on, dude. Really? Oh, he's a piece of shit? Nah. That's how we got it. Now, let me tell you something, too. A person like that is either miserable or the happiest motherfucker. I saw somebody the other day that was talking about, she was insane. And she kept on repeating herself like, hey, if you need a new costume designer, yeah, there's a costume, you know, I'll get your costumes all set up. Just talking to nobody. Nobody. She was talking to nobody at a cafe. And she was happy. No, she had mental problems, of course, because she wasn't a costume designer. And because she wasn't looking at anybody talking. She was pretending like she was talking to people that weren't there or just kind of to the room. But that's like a step or two away from what Steve Harvey is. Steve Harvey is a step or two away from that. But those people are happy. Some crazy motherfuckers are happy as shit, dude. You see them laughing. You see them laughing and drooling and picking their nose in public without a care in the world. God bless. Manafragista. Live it up, my babies. Manafragista, dude. Manafragista. I'm doing this fucking podcast naked as shit. Manafragista. You feel me? You know what I mean. boy. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. In the country. Well, you want to miss out on that? No. Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, all right? It's a more sustainable food system. It sets the highest standards for ingredients. And it builds a community of home chefs. All right, you can get the food yourself. It's also partnered with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. All right, seafood is good. It's developed. They're under standards. Developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. The beef and chicken and pork come from responsibly raised animals. You know, you can. It's affordable. Also, you might be like, well, that must cost $14,000 a month, but it doesn't. It's not for somebody who's loaded, who's got boats. You can get it for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals, all right? It's got a variety, and it's flexible, too. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Several delivery options. Choose what fits your needs, and there's no commitment weekly. So you can get deliveries when you want them. It's easy. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/congrats. Just hit that blueapron.com/congrats. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/congrats. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. I always wanted to be one of those guys that like had a voiceover for like some fucking company and did a tagline. And at the end of the tagline, you talk like this. Hyundai, it's got four wheels. And feels amazing. Hyundai. I'm so bad, by the way, at hearing people's voices when I know who they are. I know it's somebody, but I don't know who, you know? Where it's like just the voiceover and it's like a Hyundai commercial or something. You're like, who is that? And then I have no idea, and I don't want to Google it because that's cheating. And then 7 weeks later, I just go like this, James Spader. And I figure out who it is walking down the streets of Toronto. And people think I have Tourette syndrome, and my tick is screaming out James Spader. Manifragista, babies. You got to get to that point in your life. You're happier, I think, to a point. And then you get to the point where you're like fucking insane. And then you maybe go down the hill the other way. This guy sent me the most powerful DM I ever got. Let me see if I can find it. Oh boy, I have no fucking idea how am I going to find this. I don't know if I'll find it, but come on, motherfucker. Okay, I'll just say it. Say what he said. He said, hey, man. Hey, man. You like cutting off people on the road, huh? On Hollywood Boulevard or whatever. That was me you cut off in the white Prius. Amazing, dude. Amazing that, first of all, I honestly don't think it was me. I guess it could have been, but whatever. To then get that mad and then direct message somebody for it is just the fucking most hilarious thing. What a fucking bitch. I wanted to screenshot it and put it up, but I can't find it now. I get fucking too many. So popular. You know? But how funny is that he did that? That's some gangster fucking social media gangster shit. I got a release date for my special, by the way. It's January, fucking idiot. Yeah, it's in 17 months. it's June 27th, Man on Fire, Netflix, only on Netflix. That's my new special coming out. So geek out if you're a fan. If you're not, watch it anyway. It's a little bit more grown up than my last shit. Just trying to grow as an artist, man. I hate when people say that, but it is kind of true. You do have to do that. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again because then, you know, it's like, what the fuck, you know? Work out of your comfort zone, I guess, right? Try. That's what it is, really, is try. Just try. Don't be complacent, I think. So it's definitely more of a point of view driven, it's definitely still silly, but it's, I tell more stories about what's going on in my life. I'm really proud of it, to be honest. And so I'm excited for it to come out. I don't know though, man, everyone's getting specials nowadays. I feel like specials aren't even special anymore. You just got to keep coming out with them and you got to be more and more, prevalent with them. I don't know, because you got to keep reminding people. That's what Burr was saying to me. You got to keep reminding people that you're out there until they just fucking can't ignore it. Because he does a special once every like year and a half, and I'm on like once every year and a half or two years. But you know, it helps also doing movies, and you do a movie that comes out, you're in a TV show that comes out, you're in a fucking yeah, you got a fucking podcast, you know? You got to be in these motherfuckers' faces, especially because they could do anything they want to now. You could do anything you want to. You could. You don't have to watch a movie. You could just look at your phone and stay on Twitter. Nobody goes to see the movie. I mean, remember when movies like King Arthur would fucking murder in the box office? Nobody went to go see that. The movie cost $175 million to make opening weekend. It made $14 million. It's a shame, too. It's probably fucking cool and good, and Charlie Hunnam is fucking awesome, and Guy Ritchie's the shit, but I just knew nobody was going to see that movie because it's just fucking, they can do anything else. They can do anything else. They wait for it to come out on iTunes or fucking Netflix or Hulu or something. Yeah, I don't know. It's so crazy, all these streaming services, though, man. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, YouTube Red now. fucking they're getting into original programming with that aren't just YouTube stars. What else? I don't know. It's like they're gonna have a fucking hey, I'm gonna have it get a call from an agent. Hey, Tinder's reaching out. They want to do some original programming. Do you have any ideas for fucking Tinder TV? And I'll be like, I'm not fucking doing a show with Tinder. And then it'll be like the hottest fucking thing in 3 years, and they'll be rebranded, and I would have missed the boat. That's what fucking Breaking Bad did to AMC. That's what fucking Always Sunny did to FX. People didn't watch that shit. FX was the place you went to watch like Turner and Hooch. That it was just on at 3:30 p.m. and you're like, oh, I remember this movie, and you watch the end half of it with the commercials. But now it's like the shit. AMC, same thing. AMC would have fucking, they used to have corny ass movies. And then Breaking Bad came along and Mad Men, and it was over. Over. Mad Men was so dope. Mad Men was so dope, people started dressing different. You know how dope a fuck it, that'd be like if Game of Thrones, if everyone was walking around in like fur collars and long capes, carrying around fucking plastic swords, and everyone had a beard and long hair because of Game of Thrones. I mean, everyone bought skinny ties and fucking did their hair like a like an asshole wax Ken doll because of fucking Don Draper. Everybody thought they were Don Draper. I love that. People thought they were as bad as Don Draper. And Don Draper's the, what's his name? John Hamm. So annoying, I couldn't get his name. John Hamm was as handsome as shit, a 10, you know? And then you'd have like goofball fucking 22-year-olds being like, I'm on Don Draper, I'm on the Don Draper tip. And they just like work at a fucking bar. And you're like, bro, just put on a t-shirt and fucking, you don't need to do your hair like that. You're not Don Drape. You Don Draper or you Steve? You Don Draper or you guy named Steve that lives in fucking Minnesota and works at a bar. Are you in an ad agency? No, you're not. I'm drinking this fucking liqueur. That's how it is, babies. That's how it is, my babies. Manafragista. You know what I mean? Should we go to gaming the system or what? I can't believe I got too hard to game the system. It's still one of my funniest fucking, one time, did I tell this story already? I have no idea if I told this story already on a fucking podcast or not. You never know. Since we were talking about crazy people and on the way to crazy like Steve Harvey, you never know. You really never know who's crazy or not. Like the lady at the cafe who was saying fucking costume stylist or whatever. She could have been a fucking stylist. I don't know. I don't think she was, but she could have been. She wasn't because she was crazy. But what do you call it? Where am I here? What am I talking about? Crazy. Oh yeah. I used to go to this coffee shop in the Valley when I ran the fucking, I ran Cold Water, fucking Coffee Mean Dude. I fucking ran it. I know I talked about this on the podcast. If you're a loyal listener, you know what I'm talking about. I fucking ran that shit. There used to be a guy that would go there, and every time he would come in, I loved talking to him because he was batshit insane. In my eyes, this dude was the best crazy person. He would talk to me and be like, hey, man, what's going on? He'd just sit, look at everybody and smile and what's up? You know, 42, maybe 43. And I don't know what he did, but he was always like, so, man, you're a comedian, huh? You're an actor? And I was like, yeah. And he'd be like, yeah, that's what they say. That's what they're telling me. So, man, what do you got? Some projects coming up? I'd be like, just doing, you know, on stage. I mean, this was like fucking 10 years ago. So I wasn't like really hitting. I wasn't doing a lot of stuff back then. And this guy would be like, I got a hedge fund. I got a fucking movie I'm doing. We're developing some stuff. I'm starting a fucking a company that serves food and caters. I mean, just all sorts of lies. Just He could have been, and I would listen to him, and my other buddies would be there, and they'd be like, why do you fucking always call him over? It's so annoying. But it was just a fucking so fun to hear what this guy had to say, and knew he was making it up in his mind. And that fascinates me, because he would just be like, yeah, I'm, you know, I got my buddy. I'd mention like shoes, and he'd be like, yeah, my buddy, a fucking, he is the co-creator of the Air Max or some shit. And I'd be like, this guy's lying. So he would occasionally bring up this thing where he was like trying to do this thing with like animal rights or something, and to help animals and to spread awareness for some fucking thing. I don't know. It was 10 years ago. I don't remember. It was like 10 years ago. I really don't remember. But I do remember he was like, yeah, we're doing this thing where we're trying to fucking, this llama has traveled across country, and we're bringing this llama to different places, and it's going to be in LA. The llama's going to be in LA. And I know Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory. You must know him. And I was like, yeah, I perform there all the time. Jamie Masada is the owner of the Laugh Factory. One of my fucking great friends, great guy. And he was like, yeah, and Jamie had it set up to where K-Rock is going to come out, and they're going to do this radio shit, and we're going to have this llama there. You should come by. And I'm like, oh, this guy, I mean, now he's so crazy that he knows that I could check this. Jamie's a buddy of mine, right? Like, I perform at the Laugh Factory. Now I can fact check this shit. But I don't, because I'm like, there's no reason to fact check it, because this motherfucker isn't going to bring a llama to the Laugh Factory, and K-Rock doesn't know about it, right? But anyway, one of the fucking funniest things that this guy did was, I don't really know what he was doing, but he was one of those guys. You know those guys that fucking order like 4 or 5 coffees and then put them in the tray and then leave the fucking coffee place, and you're like, who the fuck? What, that was the guy that they voted, he got the short straw, or was he a PA? He's got like frappuccinos and shit all piled on. So he's got like 4 coffees. He's got like 2, he's actually got 2 trays of coffees. So 8 coffees in 4 fucking cups, in 4 like, there's 2 trays and the 4 holes, you know what I'm talking about. And so he's got 8 total coffees, 7 or 8, you know, maybe one of the holes is open, but he's got both of his hands full. And he says, hey man, you and I, after talking, he says, you and I should, he has a whole conversation with the 2 trays, the 8 coffees. He says, you and I should fucking hang out sometime, man. We'll get a fucking bite to eat or go grab a drink or something. And I'm all for it. So I said, fuck yeah, man. And as he kicks the door open, because he can't use his hand, this is the most the shit moment I've ever seen in my life. He kicks the door open to leave the fucking, to leave the joint. And he looks at me, and it doesn't break eye contact, with the coffees, with the 9 fucking coffees in hand, and says to me as he kicks his way out of the door, as he kicks his way out of the coffee shop, strictly hetero, and fucking leaves. Bro, I stopped laughing yesterday. Strictly, he says, strictly hetero, like, don't worry. Like, it was like the no homo shit that people say. Like, yo, no homo. Like rappers. But this guy fucking took the white crazy version and was like, this is mine now. Strictly hetero. See ya. Hey, let's hang out. Grab a bite to eat or something. Strictly hetero. And fucking walked out. And kicked out. He was the shit. Fuck them all. This dude was the shit. Metaphorgista. And this dude sleeps like a baby sometimes. That's fucking goddamn hilarious to me. He walked out of the coffee bean like, this motherfucker, I just said strictly hetero with 9 coffees in my hand and kicked the door open like I'm on, like I'm in Sin City, the movie. I murdered that convo, and he sleeps like a baby. That's the best. That's the fucking best shit. Oh. And here's the whole point of me telling the fucking story. Can't believe I forgot about this part. I show up. I'm not making this up. I show up to the Laugh Factory one night. Sure as shit, there's a fucking llama outside, dude. There is a llama outside, and K-Rock is in a van covering the event, and this fucking strictly hetero dude is there with the llama, with Jamie Masada. And he says, what's up, Chris? And I said, I literally looked at him and said, you're not crazy? I said, I thought you were out of your fucking mind. You really brought a llama to the Laugh Factory? He was like, yeah, man. Didn't miss a beat. Wasn't offended that I thought he was crazy. Was just happy as shit. That guy, I want to be at that level, dude. That's the level I want to be at. Right under the fucking... Right above Steve Harvey. That's fucking 3 days away for Steve Harvey if he's not careful. But that's, or if he is careful, that's where I want to be. That guy was just so happy, man. And I'm happy. But that motherfucker, strictly hetero. That was just amazing that happened. That whole fucking, I'll never forget any of that shit. But my point is it just goes to show you never know if somebody's fucking crazy or not. I mean, unless you're like a fucking, you went to school for it and you're a doctor. But I didn't know. I didn't know. Here's another fucking story while I'm fucking on it. One time I was on a flight to... Yeah, okay, so there's JFK. A lot of you probably know this, but there's JFK and then there's Newark. You can fly into either one. It's close. And it's basically you can fly in. I was going to Manhattan. JFK is in Manhattan and Newark is in New Jersey, but it's close to Manhattan. And there's also LaGuardia, but I don't know where the fuck that is. But that's not in this story. It's close enough, though. So I was flying into JFK. Now, I'm in the first seat. Okay, of the plane. And I'm saying this because it pertains to the story. I'm in the bulkhead. I'm not trying to brag like, hey, I got the first seat, but it pertains to the story. It has to be in the story. Okay. Next to me, there's a lady. All right. Maybe 40 years old. All right. Now the plane is packed. There's not a seat left in the plane. And she boards the plane. She sits down and she's not friendly. She's not friendly. We're not talking. We're just kind of, I like to keep to myself when I'm on a plane. And I think maybe she does too. Okay. So about 20 minutes, like, so 5 hours go by, you know, the fucking flight, it takes like 5 hours. Plane's going, it's fine. Everything's great. And then over the speaker, as the plane is, you know, we're wrapping up here. We're about to land. We're like, oh, any minute the stewardess is going to come on the intercom and talk to us. She does. She says, hey guys, just so you know, we're landing. We're just our descent into JFK. Put your tray tables up, and I don't hear the rest of what the stewardess says because I hear the lady next to me, who's my seat partner in the thing. It's just me and her, right? And she says, JFK. And she looks at me and I didn't know what to say. I was like, yeah, you know, I just said, yeah. And she said, we're not going to JFK. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, we're not going to JFK, are we? And I said, yeah, because we're on the plane. And I didn't understand. And I don't think she's crazy at this point, but I was like, maybe she just like fell asleep and she's disoriented or something. Right. So she's like, this can't be right. So the stewardess is wrapping up. I can't really remember how it happened, but this was like a year and a half ago. This is like way post 9/11. This is like when shit is like real tight on airlines. Okay. So she says to the, stewardess, what do you mean we're going to JFK? And the stewardess says, well, what do you mean that this flight is from LAX to JFK? And she says, no, it's not. We're going to Newark. The lady in the seat. So now I'm like, oh, okay, this lady's crazy. And that's fine, but she's crazy. And I'm just not going to talk in this situation because it's not going to get any better. You're not going to convince her she's not crazy. So the stewardess says, no, you know how they like try to keep it like they didn't want to be like, well, you're crazy. Like if I worked as a stewardess and somebody said, no, we're going to jail. I'd be like, yo, you're fucking crazy. We're going. You're out of your fucking mind. Right. So she says, no, this flight's to JFK. And she says, no, it's not. I'm going, we're going to Newark. And now it's an hour. They're very close to each other. So it doesn't really matter. Right. But the lady's like freaking out. And I'm like, you know how many times in my head, I'm like, you know how many fucking times they check the ticket on the way to the airport. They check it 9 fucking times. So obviously the lady's crazy. We're going to JFK. She thought she's going to Newark for some fucking reason. But like she heard 97 times, you check the screen. Where my flight? Is it delayed? No. Oh, good. Going to fucking JFK. Get on. You get on the plane. They scan your ticket 7 times and you go there. Every time you got to go through a new line, you get a fucking Starbucks in the thing. They're like, can I check your ticket though? Okay, you're going to JFK. Here's your macchiato. That's what happens. You could barely get out of your fucking house and get a ride to the airport without your friend saying, can I see your ticket? So we get to the so the stewardess says, I got a lot to deal with, I'll be right back. And so she sits down on her thing and the stewardess, now we're landing, the stewardess and the lady's huffing and puffing. She's like, do you fucking believe this? And I'm like, yeah, I believe it. I bought the ticket to JFK. I don't say that because I try to not say as much as I can because she's fucking it's a crazy. And so the stewardess is now facing us because we're in the bulkhead and she's facing us in her seat. You know how they sit backwards kind of because that's just how they're set up. So the lady's talking to the girl face to face and she's like, cause she's in the aisle seat. I'm in the window seat. And she's like, I don't know how airlines could let this happen. I'm on the wrong flight. And I'm like, first of all, you're crazy. You're on the right flight. Second of all, what do you mean? It's not the airline's fault. Even though it kind of is the airline's fault, it's fucking your fault. You got on the wrong plane if you got on the wrong plane, even though you didn't. Because obviously the seats are packed. You're telling me there was one empty seat. She got on the wrong plane. And just the coincidence that her seat was like 1B or whatever, or 1A, and she sat down on the only open seat. I mean, this flight was jam-packed, okay? So there's like no way she's right. She's a crazy person. So she said. So the steward says, well, when we land, and this is why I said sitting in the front seat was important because they're having this conversation right like this, right? So she says, well, when we land, we'll talk, you know? And she's fucking so mad. And she gets up after we land and she says, can I see your ticket? And the lady says, yeah. And she pulls out she goes in her bag. And now I'm like, oh, fucking great. This is awesome because now the lady, again, we're going to have proof that this lady's a fucking lunatic and she can't make excuses for a fucking plane ticket. It says fucking obviously seat 1A, 1B at JFK. So she pulls out the fucking ticket and gives it to the stewardess. And the stewardess says, how'd you get on this plane? She literally, it wasn't crazy. She was on the wrong fucking plane. On the only open seat on the wrong plane. And then she landed wrong and she had to fucking get a whole, you know, I don't know. But how the fuck how does an airline fuck up like that? I don't remember what airline. It was probably United. Pieces of shit fuckheads. But I love that she landed in a wrong city. That was great. You remember when the Chicago airport had all those fires? I was supposed to land in Chicago. I had to get to Toronto. I had to get to Toronto. And as I was... Anyway, my point is you never know if someone's fucking crazy or not. You don't know. You just write people off and then you realize, oh, they're not crazy. But I left the airport. I was in upstate New York. I had to get to Toronto, but I had to fly to Chicago first. There was no direct flight. It was so annoying because it's like a 5-hour drive if I drove, but I didn't want to drive. So I drove. I had to fly to Cleveland is what I had to fly to, not Chicago. Sorry. So I was flying to Cleveland. I fell asleep. I wake up and it was like, as our descent into Cleveland, yada, yada. And I was like, what the fuck, Cleveland? And I was in the fucking bulkhead again. And I had the conversation with the stewardess who was sat down. I was like, did it say Cleveland? She said, yeah. I said, I thought I was going to Chicago. And she's like, oh yeah, Chicago's on fire. So we got to Cleveland. I had to fly fucking back to JFK and then fly to Toronto because there was a direct flight. Because I can go from upstate to JFK to then a fucking 20-minute flight and then a 40-minute flight. It was so annoying. Anyway, whatever. Dude, there's too many flight stories. But anyway, you never know if someone's fucking insane or not. And that's it. Here I am. Gonna hit Toronto back. And I fucking pray to God, man, it wasn't raining, dude. I couldn't do anything. It was lonely as shit. I'm gonna have some downtime. I'm looking at Toronto weather right now. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No rain until Sunday. No rain until Sunday and Monday. All right, that'll do. I'll be fine. Highs of 76, lows of 50. Looks like won't be too fucking bad. 46 is the lowest that week. Yeah. So that's it. I hit all the things I wanted to talk about. Let me know your thought. Oh, you know what I'll do? I fucking didn't game the system yet. Oh, wait. Bow Wow Challenge. That's what I wanted to talk about. Did you hear about Bow Wow? This is the best. Another fucking flight story. Whatever. Bow Wow put the fucking... On Instagram, he put up a picture with of a private jet and a like G-Wagon, like flight day, travel day or whatever. And then somebody saw him after he posted that in coach flying. And people were like, it blew up on Twitter, like, this motherfucker's fronting, you know? And I mean, how fucking embarrassing. What, like, to, dude, you're Bow Wow. You know what I mean? You're Bow Wow. You're already people like think you're silly. Just what? What are you doing, Bow Wow? Hey, your name's Bow Wow, too. You're an adult, right? And this guy travel day and he was in seat like 36F. And he, what a stunting motherfucker. No, I mean, not stunting. Sorry, stunting is actually doing it. Fucking Bond Day ruins it all, man. And then people were on what do you call it, doing the Bow Wow Challenge on Twitter. And it was so funny. It's been so funny. People would be like here's one. Like, I'm just checking the hashtags. This, like, they'll be like Bow Wow Challenge, and then they'll have one picture that's like dope, and then they pull out, there's like a wide shot, and it's like, they're, like Mother's Day in Palm Springs, this guy writes, and it looks like really close, like there's some fucking cool, like, trees in the back, and then there's a wide shot of it, and it's like, you can tell he's at a Marshall's, you know? It's just so fucking funny that somebody, like, posing like that. I didn't do one. I wanted to do one, but I didn't do one. Fucking Bow Wow. Let me see how we game the system, dude. Let's see how we game the fucking system. Let's check some of these. I'm gonna do like two or three of these. So I'm tired here. Latest. All right. Oh, the fucking first one. What do you think about Bow Wow trying to be on a private jet lying about that? K. Reed. Well, just did that. This is Lance Seabrook. Oh, my God. At Urethra Addict 69. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the number one change it of all time. Hey, change it. Dude, Urethra Addict 69? And his fucking picture is of him on a horse. Oh, boy. Imagine, like, this guy has parents, right? Hey, Dad, Mom, you should get on Twitter. Oh, cool, I'll follow you. What's your thing? Urethra Addict 69. Really? You're disowned. That's how that conversation goes. Hey, Chris D'Elia, have you cried over any more movies recently? He's saying that because in my last special, I talk about how I cried when I watched the movie Kazam. I had a bit about that, Kazam, the Shaquille O'Neal movie. And the answer is, yeah, I do cry at movies. Sometimes I cry. You know what I cry at a lot are musicals. I love musicals, and everyone thinks it's very weird when they find that out about me because they're like, you always make fun of everything. I'm like, I fucking love musicals. I don't give a shit, man. Those motherfuckers can sing and dance and they can do all that shit and make you feel stuff and make me prove that I'm not a robot. Got a heart. It's great. Whenever musicals start, every musical I've ever seen, when I start, opening number, bawling. I don't give a fuck what it's about. It could be literally something silly like, we get pussy, we get pussy, we get pussy. And I'll be like, because it's so much emotion, you know? So that is what I cry about a lot. And I do cry at movies a little bit. I can't remember the movies that I've seen recently, but what does Chris D'Elia think of Comic-Con cosplaying? Erica Brosnan at ebrosnan1. Good. Good job. Good job. Good job. What does Chris D'Elia think of Comic-Con cosplay? I mean, it's fine, dude, but like, if you're going to dress up like a fucking fairy or like some girl with big shoulders and a sword, yo, you may be getting paid hourly, all right? You're doing it for fun? You're seven. What? What's this? Oh, this guy said, some of these questions are fucking stupid. Oh, I should say something. Oh my, there's a picture here of Lil Uzi Vert. Lil Uzi needs help. Where are his friends? This guy tweeted. Lickledred at Young Hosama. Jesus Christ, look at what he's wearing. Hip hop got weird, man. Or I should say, it's weird how different hip hop got. That's what I should say. By the way, I've listened to some Lil Yachty because I made fun of him a lot. There's a new Lil Yachty song that I fucking love, and I can't front. I fucking love it. It's called what is it? Bring It Back, and it's weird as shit. And this is why I like it, because it's not really hip hop. Lil Yachty rapping to me is just like basic. But this song, I hope that this is the direction that he goes. It's more of like a Chromeo kind of a cool vibe, kind of like a. It makes me honestly feel like I'm in a car and I'm 16 and I'm driving to pick up a date and go to fucking prom. And then I looked at the video and the video is him at prom, which is amazing. I was like, oh, that guy really. Not only did he make me feel that in the song, but the video's about that. That's so odd. It's called Bring It Back, I think. I'm trying to look at my iTunes. I bought the fucking thing. It's awesome. I don't know if the rest of his songs are like that or not. Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But it's cool. But that's what I was talking about, like evolving as an artist. Like this guy made those basic songs, the one with him and the video with him and a baby and his face on it. I don't remember what that song was, but that song wasn't for me. I get it was catchy. But this song, Bring It Back, yeah. It's fucking cool. I don't know. It's different. It's cool. He's doing something different. Never thought I'd say it, dude. Lil Yachty fucking came out with a banger, I think. I fucking love this song. Everyone hates it that I show it to. But I think that, honestly, they're just saying that because they're thinking of Lil Yachty's hair. Dude, it's good. And you're a fucking... It's good. It's different. And that's good. But it's also good. All right? Anyway, that's it. That's all I'm saying. I wanted to fucking say that because... I wanted you to know that. I don't know why I wanted you to know that, but I wanted you to know that. Remember to check out Blue Apron, guys. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping, by the way, by going to blueapron.com/congrats. All right. I have upcoming show dates coming up. I'm going to Austin. I'm going to West Palm Beach. I'm going to West Palm Beach. I'm going to... I don't know, Atlantic City. I'm rescheduling Australia, guys. I should be doing that by the end of the year. But check it out. My dates at chrisdelia.com/tour. Man on Fire, June 27th, Netflix. You guys got to check that out. Put it in your queue. I don't know if it's available in your queue yet, but do that. Download it even. I think you can do that on Netflix now. And by the way, we have congratulations shirt. We have a congratulations shirt now up on the store. So a lot of you guys have been asking for this. Can we get a podcast shirt? Tweet me about, hey, I want to wear a podcast shirt to rep it. You guys are the fucking shit, honestly. You babies are my shit. And you can support this podcast by going to store.chrisdelia.com. And it's got you know, it's got a lot of cool stuff. It's got some of the stuff is merchy, but some of the stuff is not. It's like high quality. It's made in Los Angeles. It's like good fucking, it's good fabric. It's really cool. I wear it and I like it. It really is good. And then tweet me at congratulationspod, hashtag congratulationspod. And please don't forget to rate and review the show. Cause I'm telling you, man, if our numbers don't keep going up, I'm done with this. Okay. So, help me out and do that if you would. Go rate and review and then check out my store. And then also you can check out the tour dates and all that. You guys are the best, my babies. Thanks for listening. This has been Congratulations, the podcast, episode something. No clue. Have a good one.
Congratulations. Congratulations.